You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Blue Room post-match for Brighton 1, Everton 1. I think probably safe to say we would have taken that result at the start, but the way the game panned out feels like a bit of a kick in the plums, doesn't it?
Mate, whatever hair I've got left is going to come out tonight after seeing something like that. I mean, look, the context of it and what actually happened is something I'm really struggling to think about. You know, look at any end of what, 10, 15 minutes ago, and to go 1-0 up and you're playing against 10 men, there shouldn't be an excuse. There's no excuse not to win that when you're 1-0 up, mate. The goal we scored as well, fantastic strike from Brandtwaite. It seemed to make you feel, oh wow, we seem to have a real some sort of magic when we go down to Brighton. And then the way in which we played after that, I thought it was a little naive because we were happy to sit behind the ball when, you know, you've got a chance, and Beto had a really good chance to go and score, or at least at the target. He missed. So, you know, I think if Dice is looking at that across whenever the week to come, and he's looking at the lads again and talking to them about what happened, we shouldn't have been sitting back anywhere near the amount that we did after we scored the goal.
Yeah, that was the thing, wasn't it? So, I mean, we'll just quickly whiz through the first half because it was very, very forgettable, that first half. And, you know, as well as Everton defended, he just didn't really do anything going forward. So we can probably just skip past that. It was kind of, it looked like it was just going to be one of them, wasn't it? It's, you know, just going to sit back.
Mate, it was flat as a pancake that first half. Yeah.
But to be fair, second half, I think from when Onana came on, a baffling one really why he's not starting after coming on as sub the last two games. There's been no sort of word on injuries or that. That just seems really odd. But he came on, and I think it's safe to say after that, we were much better. And I thought we played pretty well second half. But then, sort of as you say, Gilmore rightly gets red carded for that. And we don't take the initiative at all. We don't put on an extra midfielder to maybe pack out that midfield so they get no luck there. I think he brought on Ashley Young to go five at the back, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You know, and still we concede from across into the box and someone getting out jumped. So would you say a lot of that's on the manager or the players for conceding late on? Just before that as well, Christ knows where they got 9 minutes injury time from. That was 3 or 4 minutes at most. Outrageous, because nothing happened.
I think there's sort of an automatic lasher through a few minutes on when somebody got sent off and he stands there. Every Nams, doesn't it? When you get a red card, whoever got sent off will stand there moaning at the referee for three or four minutes and then get sent down the tunnel. That's what happened there. And then, I don't know, it almost feels like it's for a dramatic effect that they put this amount on someone. There's only one goal available in the game. I bet you if we were 2-0 up, there'd be like 2 or 3 minutes added on because all the Brighton fans had got off. And, you know, De Zerbi's halfway down the tunnel as well. But yeah, I mean, what you said there, I think that I put that more on Dice, to be honest with you, mate, because you see a lot of activity from him. You see him. He's quite very vocal on the touchline. And from what we've seen of him, from the sort of video we get of him there, he wasn't exactly screaming for these lads to sort of do anything specific when we went 1-0 up. Now, I'm fine with them doing that because they shouldn't have had anything going. They shouldn't have been able, us being on the edge of our 18-yard box when you're 1-0 up there shouldn't have been a thing, in my opinion. We shouldn't have been anywhere near that. So sub-wise, I thought he was fine. Onana coming on for Garner as well. It's that age-old adage, isn't it, when you're talking about a sort of injured player, you're putting them on if they're not fully fit. Never bought into that sort of thing. Felt actually as well, just to go back on that first game for a second, I thought Decore was doing, thought Calvert-Lewin was actually doing all right with Decore a little bit closer to him. There was a point as well just before half time where he picks the ball up halfway into their half, and there are men running past them, two or three sprinting past them. You've got Harrison and McNeil. Then I think you've got Decore himself, and he just decides to check back and lay it off to someone in midfield. It was infuriating, but shows you the issue that he's got in zero confidence to try and do something with that positive mind. But yeah, mate, to go 1-0 up with the type of goal we scored as well, it's criminal to get scored. You know, if it's a jammy goal that goes in, if it's a penalty, a free kick, that goal we can see there is really, really poor, and it's a massive hit in the bollocks, that list. You're never going to be soft enough to say something like this, but you go away from home and you draw a game like that. We would have took a point at the start of it. I can't stand people saying that because it should have been three. Should have comfortably been three.
It's no consolation, is it? You know, you win your homes, you draw your aways. That's kind of what you do to have a sort of a successful season. We're not doing any at the minute, and we haven't done for months. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so a win today. I know it doesn't really work like this, but would have cancelled out that result against Palace effectively because we'd have taken 4 points across the two games. But yeah, the way it happens, and I think you're right. It is on the manager for me. So you go down to 10 men, and what, the 80th minute or so, wasn't it?
Yeah,
go down to 10 men. They've not been in the game so much in that half either, I don't think. I think we were quite in control of things. We never looked like they were getting on top of us. You know, they had a lot of shots and stuff. I think they had 23 shots and 7 on target. I think we had 6 and 3, something like that. So, you know, they had a lot of the ball. They had a lot of the pressure. That's what we expect. And that's kind of what a Dice team wants, or that's what we're told to believe. So when a team goes down to 10 men, it looks like Everton need to take the initiative there. And once again, they just can't do it. But the thing is, they don't need to take the initiative. They can still soak up all that Brighton pressure. They've just got one less player in the midfield to do it with. So you do something to cancel that out. And again, you know, I don't want to bang on about Ashley Young coming on, but if you're going to go to 5 at the back to see out the last few minutes, wouldn't you put Michael Keane on? You know, a lot of people would disagree with that, because the man's a walking disaster area sometimes, but you go three at the back, Tarkowski, Branthwaite, Keane, three massive lads at the back there. And that, you know, if they're hitting crosses into Lewis Dunk, probably easy to say with hindsight, but it just seems the obvious thing to do to me, if that's what you're going to do. So, yeah, I think you're right. It probably is on the manager. Let's look at the goal. Let's pick ourselves up a little bit. Jared Branthwaite's just... I was going to say he gets better and better each game, but I think he's just consistently brilliant, isn't he? And then, you know, that goal, the touch was as good as the shot.
Yeah.
It was unreal for a centre-back to do that. I think it's probably only Michael Keane, the other player on our side, who could do that. but yeah, it was just a brilliant finish, wasn't it? And it just visibly gave the whole team and us as fans a massive lift there, because once again, we're down at Brighton thinking, do you know what? We could nick this here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're spot on there. I think as well, you'd never think that was in his wheelhouse, by the way. You would never think he can do something as good as he is, as good on the ball as he is. You never think of a defender like that having a strike on goal, maybe just a pot shot from wherever he is, or, you know, try to swing a leg at it. But that actually looked like, you know, he'd done that every day, because when he scores it, his celebration just walks away and up. Like, I do that all the time, lads. Do you know what I mean? You've finally all seen it happen in public, but I do that on training all the time. And he does that. And I don't think I've celebrated a goal like that all season long, because I thought that's a turning point. That is the moment we turn from this, with us going there, getting 1-0 up, and then obviously not celebrating even more. But when they go down to 10, I thought, whilst you've still got Branthwaite at the back, while you've got Tarkowski next to him, I think you made an excellent point there about throwing Keane on. Because then, you know, hindsight to say so, but you've got three lads then who were as big as Dunk, who's trying to score a header at the back post in the last couple of minutes. You know, there's a bigger chance that he doesn't do that if you've got another lad in there who's 6'4", 6'5", who can handle that thing. Yeah. But going back to the goal, it's a wonderful moment for him. The strike as well is so, so pure. I think as well, it's a type of thing where if it was anybody else who gets in that position, they're just going to try and dink it in back post. I'm not sure how he finds himself where he is as well, on the quarter of the 18-yard box. That's why I'm thinking, hang on, what's he playing at there, swinging his foot at? But it was a lovely moment. It's a great moment for him as well. I mean, I think anybody watching this who isn't an Evertonian, he'd be thinking, if they weren't already, oh, he's going to the Euros and all this sort of nonsense that normally typically means a player's getting off from us if they go and do that because they're in the spotlight. But to see that, that was one of my best moments of the season, quite sadly.
If it was
the thing that got us the 3 points, mate, it was more than deserving, wasn't it, if we'd have got them?
Yeah, I know what you mean about celebrating that goal as well. You have different levels of celebration, don't you? So when you sat listening to the radio, you might sort of go, yes. If you're at home, you might sort of jump up a little bit and cheer. At the ground, obviously, you go nuts. Yeah, that was one where I was off the couch today watching that.
The only thing, if you're down there, that's the only thing you go to the belt is at the other end. If that happens when they're kicking towards us, people are on the pitch when they see that. Because, we went there, didn't we? You're not going to see something. You're that far away from the opposite end of the pitch. You're not sure what's happened or it's deflected in. And you end up celebrating it about 2 or 3 seconds after this actually go in, because you're looking at each other, did that actually go in then? Do you know what I mean? You'd be doing it for about 30 seconds if you're thinking that it was Brantwaite who's pinged one into the top corner.
Yeah, it reminds me, it would have been like Leicester away with Mikulenko, where you know it went in, but you couldn't quite believe that it had gone in, and then you saw it was him, and you're like, really?
It felt, and look, I've mentioned this a few times, because I know we're not talking too long here, but that is such a kick in the bollocks, that, because that moment felt like we're sorting this out now. Because I looked on my phone immediately, Forest got beat 4-2 by Villa. I'm thinking, this is the time now where we start kicking on. We've looked at the list of home games we've got coming up. This is an away game that feels typical to what Dice has done well for us. When you think about the 4 we won, you think about obviously what we did there last season away from home, it starts to feel a little bit more comfortable. We were happy to contain what was thrown at us. Don't think they created anything really. Like you said, they had all those shots on goal, but there was nothing. They just seemed to go straight to Pickford. There was one where
there was one where he went down low to his right.
That was it. That was a really good save.
But everything else, it was just like taking out the air, wasn't it? Nice, easy catches.
That's it, and it felt, dare I say, it felt comfortable to me. And you know, it's hard to do it right now in hindsight to take away the result in sort of the last minute. We end up with a point, but that was a good performance from Everton today. I think it's harsh to say that, you criticise the performance with conceding a goal that late. Yeah, you can talk about the minor, the tiny things in it, letting him get a header on the back post in the 90th minute. A lot of people say that that's criminal. I haven't watched it twice, so there might be something else involved with that. But you go there and play like that, I think Everton would have taken. We spoke on our WhatsApp group there with all the Blue Room gang that we have on, and they were saying, do you know what, you take a point before that. And absolutely, I'm not denying that at all. But to go there 1-0 up, against 10 men, that's heartbreak. That is heartbreak. And it does, to me, as an emotional fan, as most people know, going forward, it does make me feel, I'm a big believer of faith and stuff like that with footy. And I think through against Palace, through against these, could have been, maybe should have been at least 4 points. Probably 6 when you think the first one was a home against Palace and they were fucked with, and he had all the best players out. So yeah, I mean, I was kicking things around the house. Don't get me wrong, none of the animals we've got, but I was walking around the house kicking everything there that we only got a point. But you look at that other result there, another point closer to Forest, bring them closer to us and things like that. But like I say, you try your hardest when you've settled down. You try your hardest. I think that's a decent throw. Down at one of the European sides in the Premier League, so that's another thing to think about as well.
Yeah, I think the issue for me though is, I think I've said this before as well. Sorry for repeating myself, but I think in isolation, results like that are good. Fulham away, good results. Villa at home, good results. Spurs at home, all good results in isolation. But when it's in a streak where you've not won, it's like you need a win from somewhere. Yeah. Because we can't, the last thing we want to do is to squeak towards safety, picking up the odd points every couple of weeks. Or, you know, we've got United away coming up. We've got West Ham at home, which is going to be massive now. This would have been a lovely win to go into that game with some momentum. They've got Brentford on Monday night. So it's another one there, isn't it, where you think, you know, if West Ham win, Brentford might just get dragged into it a little bit more. But then, you know, West Ham are up there sort of 8th, 9th, wherever, and it could give them the little kickstart they need. So it's a bit of a tricky one, that. But, you know, you look at the games we've got coming up, we've got some tough ones like Liverpool at home, United away, obviously Arsenal right towards the back end of the season. But I just feel like we need to, like, get 3 points from somewhere at some point, because it's not enough to keep drawing every week. Better than getting beat, but the position we're in, it's not enough, is it?
Well, obviously, your side's getting... it just epitomises how huge 3 points is right now. And it, you know, obviously is when you're battling to stay in the Premier League. Yes, you know, that's probably a bit of a cliche, but where we are now, I think we're all about dragging other teams into it as much as we are staying above Luton. Because, like I've said it a few times, being slated a few times, but Luton are the side that could finish above us. They could get out of it. They're a decent side, particularly at home, and we've got to go down there as well. So that's going to be a 6 pointer when we go down to Luton, which is, you know, basically playing in your back garden. You've got that run of games. You've got that four game run we've got before we get Arsenal, which is basically everybody we can drag into this. It includes Burnley and Sheffield United, who might well be down by then. The other two is Brentford and Forest. Yeah. Therefore, massive games for us at Goodison, which we've yet to prove is somewhere that we're going to get 3 points anytime soon. Yeah, so that enforces anything that today was like as well. The other stat that I heard from colleague of mine who was commentating at the BBC, we've only scored 14 goals in open play. Everything else has been via set pieces and things like that. That probably fits into what we've been saying about Calvert-Lewin and anybody else in and around this season. And I just felt, Les, that after we went 1-0 up, after they go to 10, I just thought it was begging for you to go and get a second goal. And we didn't quite create that moment. I know Beto was sort of having a one-on-one with the defender. He does well, knocks it past them. He's got a shot on goal and just blasts it over the park and into the university that's next door. I mean, that's a massive issue when, you know, it's just begging to be ended, that game. And then the other side of it, I think you mentioned yourself, is just keep the ball. Just keep the ball. It's not the difficult part of it. And it felt
it
to
is
me
this side.
Well, exactly, yeah. And I really hope Dice was screaming at these lads to say and stop playing like route one forward to Beto and trying to get him to hold it up. Just knock it round. Just you put your two midfielders in. Garner was still on. I thought it was better. I mean, he's been slated in the last week or two by us. Thought he was fine. I can see that was a really good substitution to put Onana on. But like you go
I
back
think he's
to
injured as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, you know, half thrown half injured players on. I think that's an example of what we've actually. That's all we've got on the bench, really.
Yeah.
Because clearly Onana isn't 100%. Otherwise, he would be starting games. He went down as well, and I thought, oh no, I hope he's not injured, because he's going to be pivotal for us towards the end of the season. So, you know, the good fullbacks were fine. I thought Godfrey was fine. I thought Mikhailenko was fine. He had a lot of the ball today as well. Mikhailenko, I thought he did quite well.
Yeah, I thought he was our best player today, Mikhailenko. I thought he was really good.
And it's easy to avoid calling him that, isn't it? Because he's a left back and he doesn't see him getting involved as much as sort of in attacking play and all that. But I thought players started to sort of bring themselves into it. I thought the same with Harrison too. I thought he was getting involved, playing nice little 1-2s with Decore. Same again with McNeil. They both grew themselves into the game towards the end of the first half, and obviously in particular the second. But I think I'm trying my best to keep the performance in my head more than I am missing out and conceding the last minute equaliser.
Yeah, I think we've got it, really, haven't we? Our little driver's nuts. I think another bright spot was Decore again, I think, playing another game. He had a really, really good effort, which was reminiscent of the one he scored in the opening 30 seconds last year. Great header clearance off the line by Lamptey. Another inch and that's over his head, because he's only about 5'3", isn't he?
That's when you think it's one of your days, isn't it, when something like that happens?
Exactly. Yeah, but I thought he did all right. He's, you know, he's got to be getting better now as he gets more and more into it. So, you know, it's another one of them, isn't it? Where I think we came out to Palace quite despondent because it was a game we thought we should have gone and won, and we should have won.
Yeah.
And we made them look better than us. I think they were better than us on the night, Monday night. I think this one, we can come away with a little bit more optimism. I think, as you say, the second half in particular, the performance was much better.
Yes.
But as you say, it's translating that into the home games. I think I just want to pick up on something Warren said. And I think it might have been post-match last week or something. Oh, no, I think it was a preview or something. But he said, anyway, this Palace game, it's a really good opportunity to go and get 6 points against the team. And we didn't. So that's my worry with these home games against Brentford, against Forest, is that we've already beaten them away. To beat them at home, it's something we're not very good at doing, and we need to find a way to translate this into some decent home performances and home form. But I think we'll end it on, we can't be too despondent. It's annoying, and it's horrible way. It feels like a defeat when you concede like that, when you think, you know, 3 points are there and you concede like that, but we can't be too despondent, can we?
No, you can't when you just single a performance out, in the sense that's the most important thing, isn't it, at this stage, is we've been dreadful at times since we've our last victory, which is the day before my birthday last year. I'm getting closer to 37 than I am when I turned 36 last in December. I think seeing a performance like that makes you closer to thinking, you know what, we should be okay. We should be getting 3 points there. We'd have taken the 1 point as well beforehand. It's just that little bit of doubt. It's the type of game that you don't want to watch again. You do not want to watch it again. Other than don't take it to the last minute, because, like I said, performance wise, I thought we were quite crisp on the ball. Some of the passing statistics will be really interesting to see, because we did knock it around quite well. Midfield looked a little bit more competent. It was that age old thing as well, which scored a goal from out of play. Aside from that stunner from Branthwaite. Looks like we're ages away from scoring a goal from outside the play, and Decore's stunner, which it should have been as well. So still issues scoring goals going forward, but we're looking a hell of a lot more solid than we were in that pretty horrendous run that we had when we just kept losing games.
Yeah, that's it. Trying not to be too despondent. It is frustrating. We've all been here before. We'll be here again. We've also been on the other side when you get a last-minute equaliser, and it feels like it's just the best thing in the world. Yeah, but yeah. It's what happens. It's frustrating. You know, we can point fingers all we like. I think we've dissected it enough there, to be honest. We put a bit of blame on the players, a bit of blame on the manager. That's how it goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, try not to be too despondent, Toffees. We just need to sort of get a good performance and a result against West Ham next week. But before all that, we'll be back with all the usual stuff next week. Blue Monday with Matt. That should be good. Always is. Then we've got the weekly, subs weekly mailbag. Old New Borough Blue, that's coming out tomorrow, a bit later this week. It's with Rob. All the usual stuff. We'll keep you posted with everything going on with Everton. Up the Toffees.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.